Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
I make bold because it is my duty to serve you and to warn you of the crooked practices of those who claim to represent your grace. Did not command the preaching of indulgences, but of the gospel.
Forward this to Rome.
Well, it's a little bit from the Luther movie from some years back, where Luther begins by complaining to his prince, and then he posts the 95 Theses, and of course it's not long until Rome hears about this young monk. Now, this has been told as a story of heroism and rebellion, focusing on Luther as a personality. There's some interest in that. But the Reformation is much broader than Luther, even as a historical event. But is it broader even than that? Is it a discrete time in history where one of the things that had to be done was done and then it's over? Is the Reformation over? That's the big question we need to deal with here on this Friday afternoon as we conclude Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. Dr. Lawrence White will join us here. And we'll be talking with him about the Reformation, its theology. The Reformation today is our subject. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. And you can Twitter us with questions or comments. Do you think that the Reformation needs to continue today? At issuesetc. Dr. Lawrence White is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's author of an article titled, What Does It Mean to Be Lutheran Today? Dr. White, welcome back.
Todd, always a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
Is the Reformation merely a page in history, or is it something greater, something that is of the essence of the church? Do we need Reformation today?
Well, the answer to that question is simple and direct. Absolutely, we need Reformation today. For Lutherans, the commemoration of the great events of Luther's time is a simultaneously an affirmation of the doctrine which Luther proclaimed as the truth of the Word of God. Here at Our Savior in Houston, our opening hymn, this Reformation Weekend, will be a hymn written in 1886 by a Missouri Synod preacher named C.J. Rhine, entitled, Let Luther's Heirs Come Forth This Day, calling upon the members of our church body to take a firm and stalwart stand for the truth of God's Word. In that time, a century ago, and that same call needs to resound among us. The chorus to that hymn is the banner that used to fly on the masthead of first der Lutheraner and later the Lutheran Witness, God's Word and Luther's Doctrine Pure shall now and evermore endure. And that's exactly why the Reformation is not merely a historical commemoration, but an affirmation of our resolve by the power of the Holy Spirit to live, to confess the truth of God's Word, as did Luther, here and now in our day.
What is the, if you could, put your finger on the essential nature of the Reformation then and today? Obviously, the principal actors are long gone. The documents have been written. They are accepted even today by some, perhaps fewer than in the past. What do you mean when you talk about a Reformation continuing today?
The Reformation was essentially a confession of Bible truth in the unique circumstances of that particular moment in history. Every generation of Christians in every place confronts that same opportunity and responsibility to confess the truth of God's Word in the circumstances in which they find themselves. And from that essential perspective, the Reformation was not about Martin Luther or his cohorts or his opponents. It was not something that could be limited to a particular set of circumstances at an individual moment in history, because the responsibility and the opportunity for the church to confess the truth of God's Word is constant and ongoing. And within our Lutheran heritage, it is that confession of the truth that is the very essence of what we are as a church body. Lutherans are unique among all of the hundreds of denominations of Christendom in that we have never, when we are true to that heritage, we have never defined ourselves in terms of polity, that is, a particular form of church government or institutional structure. We have never defined ourselves in terms of personalities or dynamic leadership or telegenic presence in the pulpit, nor have we defined ourselves in terms of piety, what you do or what you don't do. For Lutherans and for historic Christendom, it has always been about the truth of God's Word. And that's why the Lutheran Church, when it is true to its heritage, has understood itself in terms of its doctrine, in terms of its teaching. And there has never been a time when that self-identity was more directly and pervasively being challenged than it is in our culture today, where people, by and large, have given up on the whole concept of truth. We're back to Pontius Pilate, the cynic of the trial of Jesus, who contemptuously dismisses Jesus' claim to be the king of a kingdom of truth with his what is truth? Well, that's where all of Western society and most Americans are today. And in that context, we who are Luther's heirs must boldly, steadfastly stand for the truth of God's Word and proclaim and confess that truth as the defining characteristic of our church and of Christendom.
So how, if you were to diagnose or perhaps just kind of, take a look at how the church is doing nowadays. How do you think the church is doing at Reformation today?
Well, I think we are a pathetic failure. Unfortunately, most of Christendom and most of Lutheranism is blending and bending rather than standing and confessing. We have allowed ourselves to be influenced by the culture in which we live, for the sake of success, to bring in the bodies and the bucks, to meet people's felt needs, whatever the particular gobbledygook of the moment may be, we have conformed to the empty, false standards of this world, rather than defining ourselves in terms of the truth of God's Word. And that's the dilemma of Christendom today. Every generation of Christians must demonstrate the authenticity of the faith to the world in which it lives. And the only way we can do that is by courageously, steadfastly standing upon the word and rejecting whatever particular cultural trends are challenging or questioning that truth at a given moment in history, as they continually have been throughout history since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And unfortunately, even our Lutheran Church has failed in that task of ongoing reformation. We have allowed ourselves to be lured into visions of success and prosperity and institutional growth and bucks and bodies and so forth, instead of recognizing that all of these things are trivial and irrelevant in the eyes of God. What's essential here is the faithful proclamation of the gospel and the message of salvation that it alone can convey. And we need to recognize once again that that message and that faithfulness to Bible truth that it entails has never been and it cannot be popular in the world or acceptable to the world. And we've got to be ready and eager to face the challenge of making that unpopular presentation and the scorn and the rejection that will go with it. Because whenever the church and the world manage to coexist comfortably, it's not because the world has become Christian, it's because the church has become worldly. And that's what has happened to Christendom in America today, and even, most tragically and ironically, to Lutheranism in America today.
Dr. Lawrence White is our guest on this Friday afternoon, October the 23rd. We're concluding our five-part daily series on the 16th century Reformation and its theology. Today, the Reformation today. Dr. Lawrence White is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's author of an article titled, What Does It Mean to Be Lutheran Today? We'll post a link to that article at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and you'll find Dr. Lawrence White and a link to that article. When we come back, the things that assail the Reformation today, that hinder the Reformation today, church growth, modern evangelicalism, talk about a capitulation to culture that Dr. White mentioned just a moment ago, disengaging from the culture, and then institutionalism, which leads to legalism. We'll talk about all of those things as we discuss the Reformation today with Dr. Lawrence White. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
An unnecessary trend.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
As we told you last time, the number of abortions in America has increased in recent months due to the economic downturn. But if pregnant women were given a true choice, an informed choice, then they would know that they don't have to decide between money and a child. With crisis pregnancy centers around the country ready and willing to help with the cost of a pregnancy, and with an abundance of couples eager to adopt a newborn child, women should know that they don't have to choose between paying their rent or giving life to their child. They can do both.
Are you pro-life? then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, October the 23rd. The church is observing Reformation Sunday this coming Sunday, and we've spent this week, Reformation Week, with our listeners talking about the great solas of the Reformation. We've talked about faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, Christ alone, and today we're wrapping it all up, talking about the Reformation today with Dr. Lawrence White, senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Dr. White, a word that I heard you say probably a dozen times in our last segment must really mean something. That word is faithfulness or being faithful. What do you mean by that? What does that word mean when you talk about the Reformation continuing today?
Well, faithfulness is indeed the central concept in the whole history of the Reformation and the applicability of the concept of Reformation to our situation today and the crisis of the culture in which we live at this moment. Faithfulness is exactly as the etymology of the word itself says, to be full of faith, to be willing to allow the outcome to rest in the hands of God, to judge what I teach and what I do as a pastor of the church, as an individual Christian within the church, not on the basis of its effectiveness or its success. As Christians, and particularly as Christian pastors, faithfulness is the ability to put the outcome in the hands of God and trust and believe in the power of His Word to do what He tells us to do, even though every standard of human judgment may tell me that can't work, they won't listen, it's not going to happen. But despite all of those doubts and fears, to trust in the power of God's Word and simply to do what He tells us to do, and to believe that within His purpose and His plan, everything will be accomplished. The classic example, Todd, I believe, is poor old Moses at the burning bush. You know, he's got a whole list of excellent excuses why he shouldn't be the deliverer, and the way that God has this set up to go confront the most powerful earthly ruler on the face of the planet with a scheme to deliver millions of Hebrew slaves from bondage can't turn out the way God says it's going to turn out. And the message God gives to Moses and the message God gives to us is, leave the outcome to me. Don't worry about whether what I tell you is going to work, how effective or practical or relevant to people's own perceptions it may be. Leave all that to me. Trust in my word, believe in the power of that word, and stand upon that word. That is faithfulness.
Let's talk about some of the challenges facing the Reformation today. You begin in something you've recently written, talking about the church growth movement, modern evangelicalism. And for many, they say church growth sounds great. How could that possibly present a challenge to faithfulness and continuing Reformation?
Because the whole church growth approach to the life of Christianity today is geared to outcomes and effectiveness and acceptability and popularity. And that is the polar opposite of faithfulness. Our life is the church. Our identity is the people of God. That which we teach and practice within the communities of God's people cannot be geared toward outcomes. It must be geared toward and based upon and defined and determined by the teachings of God's Word. And I go back to the observation I made a few moments ago about the unique identity of historic Lutheranism. That is the genius of Reformation faith, that we have been, across the centuries, willing to be faithful to the Word, to the teaching of the Word, and leave the rest to God. Church growth, the whole church growth approach, flips that and inverts it, and suddenly we've got it all backwards. And human expectations become determinative rather than divine truth. And necessarily we end up giving sinful people what they want. While the problem is that because of the perversion of sin, what they want isn't what they need. And because of the falsehood and distortion of sin, everything in their thinking, in their minds, in their feelings has been turned inside out and reversed. And if we cater to all of that, then we essentially deny and render powerless the message of the gospel. We must trust in God and His Word enough to leave the outcome to Him. This isn't about church growth in the sense of statistics and numbers, which is the way we as human beings tend to measure all these things. But it is about church growth in the sense of God's people, empowered by the Word, becoming stronger in their faith and more able to serve Him and proclaim His gospel, as that service and that gospel are defined not by human expectations, but by the truth of God's inspired and inerrant Word.
I can hear Lutheran pastors and congregations that have eaten copiously from the tempting fruit of the church growth movement saying, we're still faithful. We're still faithful. We have just adopted a different style. We haven't changed the substance, Dr. White.
Well, the problem with that approach is that you can't mix human expectation and perspective with divine truth. It can't be half and half or part of both. It's kind of like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. And there's no in between. That's the way it has always been, and it must necessarily be. You can't, you must serve either God or Satan. You can't be trying to have it both ways. The Bible tells us that the devil cannot allow, he cannot permit the truth of God to stand, because if that truth stands, if it is proclaimed purely and faithfully, it will reveal the lie for what it is. And therefore, the devil must be constantly on the attack, seeking to undermine, to water down, to invert and distort that truth in every way possible. And as we look at the experience of mega churches throughout America that have followed the church growth model, and mega churches within our own denominational context, what invariably happens as the focus shifts from Bible truth to felt needs to build large institutions and successful programs economically and in terms of people numbers, what happens is truth is de-emphasized, at least in the practical real life of those congregations, while official standards, which become increasingly irrelevant to it all, are maintained. But what's going on in the real life of those congregations is that sermons become a series of amusing anecdotes, and worship is reduced to the same kind of shallow, trivial entertainment that permeates every other part of our culture. And Bible classes are no longer substantive studies in the Word of God, but become the personal dynamics of self-satisfied consumers sharing their experiences with one another. And what happens is, again, to use a good Lutheran analogy, we end up with all foam and no beer. There's no substance left. While certainly we may maintain the official standards and say all the right words when we're pressed to say them, but what's actually taking place in the worship services and in the activities and programs of the congregation is all about people and their felt needs rather than the Bible and its message of law and gospel based on scriptural truth.
When we come back with Dr. Lawrence White, another challenge facing the continuing Reformation is forgetting what God's Word has to say and favoring human bylaws, constitutions, rules, policies, whatever they may be. We call it institutionalization, where the unity, the institutional unity of the church outweighs the true biblical unity that only the Word of God can bring to us. And the more we disregard the Word of God and toss our hat in with human judgments over against the Word of God, the more the unity, the true unity, begins to fracture, the more effort there is to try and draw or coerce people to stay together. It gets worse and worse. We watch it happen. How is institutional unity a challenge to the Reformation? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. I want to hear from you. Oh, and by the way, that institutionalism also leads eventually to legalism, says Dr. White. We'll see what he means on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Lawrence White is our guest. We're talking about the Reformation today. Dr. White, in our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have leaders right now who seem more comfortable quoting bylaws and convention resolutions than the Word of God. Is this an example of institutionalism? And how does that lead, as you say, to legalism?
Institutionalism is by nature a reflection of a lack of confidence in what the founding president of our church body, C.F.W. Walther, used to talk about as the power of the Word of God in convincing. We don't need constitutions and bylaws and more power and centralization for the officials and elected officers of a denomination to draw us together. Because all of those things are inherently inimical to genuine scriptural doctrinal unity. And when we resort to them, we're indicating a lack of confidence in the power of the Word of God and convincing. There was a time in our own Missouri Synod where when the Synod gathered for a national convention, the major feature of that convention was the doctrinal essay that went on and on and on throughout the convention. And that was what the delegates talked about when they went home, how we as a church body discussed the truths of God's Word together and celebrated our unity in that truth. But the less confident we are about the truth as it is confessed in God's Word and the power of that biblical truth to unite us and bring us together, the more prominent human rules and regulations will necessarily become, and the more grasping for additional authority our leaders will become, because we really don't believe anymore that God's Word and a common confession of the truth of that Word can unite us and hold us together. It's striking, looking back to the history of the Reformation, that Luther never demonstrated any interest in structural organization. His constant concern was theology. His constant concern in dealing with the new Lutheran congregations that were springing up throughout Saxony and Central Europe was that the gospel message be faithfully preached and the sacraments rightly administered in terms of the Bible within those congregations. He had virtually nothing to say about structure and organization, and that makes him genuinely unique among the leaders of the Protestant Reformation and throughout the history of Christendom. As I said at the outset, Lutheranism is the only church body that has never defined itself in terms of anything but doctrine. We have all kinds of different structures and institutional features throughout world Lutheranism, and that's fine. What ought to make us Lutherans is our confession of the truth of God as first and foremost. And whenever organization, structure, authority within that structure becomes more prominent, a confidence in and a reliance upon doctrinal unity and our confession of the faith that we all share with one another, the faith that we confess by communing together at each one of our altars across the country and throughout the world, is what brings us together as Lutherans. There was a time in our own church body when you could, with great assurance, know that no matter where you went to a Missouri Synod church, whether it was in California or New York or the Midwest or, of course, in God's most favored place on earth, which is Texas, you would hear the same doctrine proclaimed in the pulpit. You would hear that same biblical truth taught in every Bible class. You would see worship approached in a biblically substantive manner as we sang the great hymns of our church. But those days are gone. And no substitute in terms of institutional centralization and human authority can take its place.
Here's an email, and we only have time for one, from Steve. He says, one of the greatest issues that we must face is that many do not understand the issues that lead to the Reformation. We don't have the theological understanding of what the Reformation is. Thus, we are prone to revert back to the wrong teaching that preceded the Reformation. We see that in how the doctrine of many in American evangelicalism looks very much like the theology of the Roman Church prior to the Reformation. Your thoughts there, very briefly, Dr. White?
I think that's a very profound observation. When the gospel is not the core of our faith and our theology, when everything is not focused on the cross of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us in Christ, the only alternative, in an endless variety of different ways, is a reliance upon me and what I do and my works or my decision to follow Jesus or my practice of the piety and implementing the Christian faith in life become the alternative. And the devil is good at offering us all of those variations, so we won't see the common thread that binds them together. But it's either Christ on the cross, that precious gospel of salvation by grace through faith, which is God's gift, not human decision, or it's a variation of my reliance on something I do as the basis for my salvation and the determining factor in my Christianity. As we have turned away from doctrine and looked at other alternatives, either cultural or institutional, our people and our pastors don't know the doctrine well enough to profess and live that doctrine in the weekly practice of the life of the individual congregation. As a sociologist in Newsweek magazine a few weeks ago noted, American Christianity is a mile wide and an inch deep. Biblical illiteracy is rife among us. Substantive confirmation instruction, genuine Bible study, and verse-by-verse expository preaching are disappearing as we seek to be popular and successful rather than faithful.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, Dr. White, what was and is the Reformation really all about? 30 seconds.
Jesus Christ on the cross, paying in his blood the salvation price to offer God's undeserved love, his precious grace, to each and every one of us.
Folks, you can help us proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. And look for the photo of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this weekend. Dr. White, before we let you go, I have to tell you, we had a field worker at the church where I serve as assistant pastor.
Yes.
Matt Sinet, I believe, was his name.
Yes.
From your congregation.
Uh-huh.
Hands down, unbelievable, best field worker I have ever had the pleasure of working with in his preaching and his conducting of the liturgy. He must have learned greatly from your example because he is a tremendous pastor in the making.
Well, I'll be happy to take credit for him, but I'm not sure I deserve it. He is a fine young man, and he is indeed going to be an outstanding pastor. He's preaching for me as soon as he gets home for Christmas and repeatedly during his sabbatical from St. Louis.
You will not be disappointed. Dr. Lawrence White is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, author of an article titled, What Does It Mean to Be Lutheran Today? Dr. White, thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure, as always.
It means believing and teaching and confessing what God's Word says in its plain and simple language. It means holding fast to that articulation of that very Word of God, as we find in the historic creeds, in those when the church struggled so to regain again, once again, to uncover again the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means returning to the center of Scripture and the center of the church's confession, Christ and Him crucified for sinners. And not only holding fast to that, but all that goes along with it in Scripture's teaching. It means truly hearing Christ's word when He says, that we are to make disciples by baptizing and teaching and observing all that he has commanded us. That's what the Reformation always has been. That's what it remains. That's what it will be. We call it the Reformation, but folks, what it really is just the ongoing life of the church, struggling and striving to be faithful to God's word and confessing that word in each and every generation to sinners who need Jesus Christ, to a church that continues to need Jesus Christ too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.